I feel inclined to minister this morning on a passage out of the book of Deuteronomy, and some of you may be wondering why I didn't say anything about the status of the building and what's going on over there. And some of the rest of you that may be visitors in our midst may say, well, you know, every time I come over there, I'm talking about this property over on Highway 5. What's going on? You know, the Lord is really teaching us a wonderful lesson. Over and above that, yes, patience too. And, you know, we talked about patience 2 weeks ago. How many were in service 2 weeks ago? We talked about the force of patience, that it's a real force. And patience is that ability to stand undisturbed in spite of delays, in spite of obstacles, and in spite of failures. Remember that? Over and over again through the New Testament, we find that the men and women of God who inherited the promises of God inherited it by faith and by patience. And we hear an awful lot about faith. We don't hear a whole lot about patience. So God's teaching us about the force of patience, which undergirds the force of faith while it's under attack by the enemy. But many other things is God teaching us about His ways. He's shown us over and over and over again the validity of that verse of Scripture out of Isaiah 55. I believe it's verses 8 and 9 and through there, where He says that thy ways are above our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But praise the Lord, He's teaching us His own ways. Do you realize that? He's leading us in His own ways. And He's showing us through this, through the gyrations that this situation is going through on the property there, how God works and how God's children are to receive from Him. Now I want you to turn over to the 11th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to read a passage there of God's instructions through Moses to the children of Israel. And I believe you'll see the comparison or the similarity between the circumstances today. Now let me set the stage for you. In this 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, the children of Israel have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. God's been providing for them and caring for them all the while they've been wandering through that forsaken wilderness. They were delivered miraculously and wondrously out of the land of Egypt by the hand of God, by His strong arm. God has restored the covenant once again to them. Moses has taken two new stones up into the mount, and he's gotten the law once again. And now Moses stands before the children of Israel, reminding them of something. And I just feel that the Lord would have us to see this story today. And I believe you'll see the analogy that He wants us to see today concerning our own circumstance. We are the children of God, are we not? How many of you believe that? All right? Moses and the children of Israel were God's children in that time. God, we said earlier, does not change. He's the unchangeable God. Over in Malachi, He said, I am the Lord God, and I change not. Now, if He said, I am the Lord God, and I change not, then I'm just childish enough, I guess, in my faith to believe that He truly is the Lord God and He doesn't change. So if we see how He operated here with the children of Israel, then we'll see how He's going to operate with us and how He is already operating with us. And then I want to share with you what has been happening this past week, where we are right now. All right, let's just begin reading there at chapter 11, verse 1. Moses speaking. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes and His judgments and His commandments always. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, which have not seen the chastisement of the Lord your God, His greatness, His mighty hand, and His stretched out arm, and His miracles and His acts which He did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt, and unto all his land. What He did unto the army of Egypt, and unto their horses, and to their chariots, and how He made the water of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day. And what He did unto you in the wilderness until ye came unto this place. And what He did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents, and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of Israel. In other words, Moses says, You know that I'm not speaking to your children today who have not seen all the mighty works of God. I'm not talking to your little ones who have not seen the mighty hand of God working in your midst. But, in verse 7 he said, your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. I'm not speaking to your little ones who did not see what God did. I'm speaking to you, Moses said. For your own eyes have seen. Your own eyes have been witnesses of all of the great acts which the Lord did in your behalf. You've seen it firsthand. You know that God is a mighty God. You know that he's done mighty and wondrous works in the midst of ye, in the midst of thee. You know that because you've seen it and you've been firsthand witnesses. He says, I'm talking to you. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Moses is reminding the people here that God had promised to give them a land. He promised to give them a land of promise. He had promised it from Abraham on down, renewed his covenant promises many times through the years. He promised to give them a good land that was flowing with milk and honey. And he says here, now you have seen with your own eyes the mighty acts and works which God has done in your midst. Don't you think that the very same God that opened up the Red Sea, the very same God that caused Pharaoh's armies to be destroyed as they pursued you, the very same God that delivered you out of the land of Egypt with a mighty and strong hand, do you not think that that very same Almighty God can make also good on his promise to give you the land? That's the question, isn't it? You've seen it with your own eyes. Now, don't you think he can do the rest of it? He's already done all of these things. What makes you think he's going to stop right here and not go on and do the rest? As I was reading that this week, the Lord just seemed to say to me, you know, you all at Water of Life are in exactly the same circumstances. And God, I believe, would speak to us today and say, you have seen with your own eyes my mighty hand in the midst of thee. You have seen my spirit poured out upon men and women, boys and girls, without regard to age, race, color, creed, national origin, or anything else. You have seen the power of Almighty God in your own life to take you out of the bondage of the devil and translate you into the joyous and glorious kingdom of Almighty God. And if that's the only thing you've ever seen, you have seen the almighty hand of an almighty, all-powerful God in your own life. He says, your own eyes you've seen it. You've witnessed it yourself. You've seen people healed. Many of you have been touched with the healing hand of God yourself. How many of you have been touched supernaturally with the healing power of God in their bodies? You, with your own eyes, have seen the hand of God in your midst. How many of you have ever seen the evidence of demons cast out? Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. That is a miracle-working power of the Spirit of the living God. When a demon flees at the name of Jesus, don't you mistake that for anything but the power of the Spirit of Almighty God. And that's a miracle in the working right there, in the Spirit. You have seen with your own eyes the Spirit of God at work. You have seen the fire of the Holy Spirit come down at a baptismal service. You have seen the miracle-working power of God. You've seen people respond to the call of Jesus. Say, yes, I want to be saved. Yes, I want to be filled with His Spirit. Yes, I want to be equipped with power from on high so that I can go forth and do the works of Jesus, so that I can be the kind of soldier that God wants me to be, so that I can answer the call that Jesus already has on my life. You have seen it. Every one of you have seen it with your very own eyes, have you not? Not your little ones only, but you yourselves personally have seen the power of God. You've seen God's power come upon men and women and boys and girls right here in this place, and the power of God be so strong upon them that they would fall over under the power. And many of you have experienced God's wonderful power in that way. We serve an almighty, all-powerful, supernatural God, one that defies all reason, one that defies all human understanding, one that defies all of men's best wisdom and knowledge. We heard it said recently in this very room that the wisdom of man is foolishness with God. That God's foolishness is greater than the highest wisdom of any man. We've seen it. Jesus promised, wherever two or more of you are gathered together, in my name there shall I be. How many times have we ever gathered together as the people of God and God Almighty has not manifested His presence among us by the Spirit? How many times? That many. The promises of God are true. With your own eyes, you have seen the manifested power of God in answer to His promise. Every time we gather together, God has delivered us as a people from Egypt, from spiritual bondage, as our brother shared this morning in his prayer. As surely as the children of Israel, the descendants of Jacob, were delivered by a strong and mighty hand out of the slavery of Egypt, yea, and so were these people right here in this room delivered out of the land of bondage a year ago.
Hallelujah.
Now that is the truth.
Amen.
And if you would have told me that 13 months ago, I'd have said you were crazy. But God has set us free. God has delivered us a holy people, a people to serve Him. He has raised us up. Now, don't misunderstand me. Someone here this morning is going to misunderstand what I'm saying and say, well, who does he think he is? And who do they think they are? Well, I'm going to tell you who I think I am and who we think we are. We are the children of Almighty God. We're God's people. And we're entitled to that which God has promised us. That is all of the good land that God has given. And anything less than that would be a travesty upon the Word of God. And if we were to say we do not want God's very best, we're saying, Father, I don't care what you provided for us, I don't want it. Now, would that please your own earthly father? It wouldn't please your heavenly Father either. And it's not a matter, please don't anybody misunderstand, that it would be a matter of arrogance or a matter of pride. It is not that. But as a child of God, we are entitled to certain rights and certain privileges. And those rights are, when our brother read some of them last week, we have the right to be born again. We have the right to be delivered from the power and the penalty of sin. We have the right to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We have the right to speak in new tongues and give praise unto Almighty God. We have the right to walk hand in hand with God the Father the same way Jesus did. And many other such. We have the right to whole bodies. We have the right to whole minds. We have the right to whole families. We have the right to wholeness in our finances and in our jobs. We have the right to peace of mind. We have the right to freedom from fear and from doubt. We have the right to freedom from torment. We have the right to have a whole marriage. We have the right to have saved children. We have the right to have harmony in the home. We have the right to have power in our life. We have the right to use the name of Jesus in every circumstance, including in prayer. Those are only a few of our rights. And if you know what your rights are, children of God, stand upon them and take them and use them. God has given them to us. Do you know how much it cost Him? It cost Him His very own life. It cost Him His very own blood. And if it was not important to Him to give it to you, He surely wouldn't have shed His blood on that tree that day. And if you'll not take what God has clearly and freely given to you, it's just like trampling on His blood. And I sure don't want to do that. How about you? God has given us great and wonderful, exceedingly great promises. Oh, it says over in 2 Peter 1. Let us not be found guilty of standing behind the door while God's children are roaring through into the promised land. Let us stand where God has put us. Let's enter that land of promise. Moses said, but your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which He did. And don't you know that if God has done all of these things in the midst of you, that God is well able to do the rest? I'm well satisfied in my own heart and in my own mind that God Almighty is able to do the rest of that which He has promised. God has promised to cause us to come into that facility over there on Highway 5, is He not? Over and 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 over again. God has renewed that covenant with us. He has renewed that promise with us. I'm well satisfied that if God could save my soul, if He could fill me with the Holy Spirit, if He could cause me to stand before this body of Jesus Christ today and proclaim the Word of God as it's going forth today, if He could do that with me, then I'm well satisfied that He can do all the rest of it. And there's not one thing that God Almighty has ever said that will not come to pass. It will come to pass.
Hallelujah.
It will happen. Now, I don't guarantee that. He guarantees it. Right here. And He sealed it with the blood of His Lamb. Of His holy Lamb, Jesus. God's able. He's able. All right, pick up your Bibles again, and I want you to see number 2. Beginning to read at verse 10. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out. Now, listen to the Spirit of the Lord very carefully as we read these verses here. There's something absolutely beautiful in these verses. Absolutely beautiful. And if it'll get a hold of your heart this morning, praise the Lord, if you didn't have the joy of God when you came in, you're going to have it before you go out of here. Let me start again, verse 10. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in His due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in the corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you. He shut up the heaven that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. You get a picture of what God's promise is, for how it is in the land of promise. It's not hard labor. In the land of Egypt, the children of Israel had to sow their seeds, and they had to carry the water in order to water it. They had to dig ditches in order to cause the water to run down irrigation ditches in order to cause the seed to grow, because there wasn't any rain there in those deserts of Egypt where they were growing their gardens and growing their vegetables. But God said, this is not the land of Egypt. This is a land of plenty. There are hills and valleys there. It's not an arid desert. There's rain that'll come from heaven. I'll send you the early rain and the latter rain. You're not going to have to irrigate your crops. You're not going to have to carry the water laboriously by the bucket full. I'm going to do it for you. Do you realize how difficult it is to get a person saved today in Egypt? You know what I'm talking about? In a spiritual Egypt now. In a spiritual Egypt. It's very difficult to get a person saved in such a place. If the ground is real dry there, if the Word of God is not proclaimed, if the praises of Almighty God are not lifted up to the Father, if the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of His people, if God's people don't praise Him, where is He? His Spirit is not manifestly present in its fullness to convict and draw people unto Jesus. It's hard to get folks saved in spiritual Egypt. It's hard to get them healed in Egypt. It's hard to get them filled with the Holy Ghost in Egypt. You've got to work. You have to work. Just everything that you get for God when you're working in that kind of a hard, dry desert is labor. It's laborious. But God said, when I put you into my land, it'll not be hard labor. It'll not be hard labor. He said, come and enter into my rest. I'm going to send the rain. I'll send my Holy Spirit upon your people. I'll send my Holy Spirit upon those people who come into your services. I'll send my Holy Spirit into the people that you're witnessing to. I'll come upon them with the fullness of my love and my joy and my power, and I'll bring them to a state of conviction so that you will be able to reap the harvest. Hallelujah. Do you see this? I pray for the Lord today that you'll see this particular part of this message, what God wants you to see. The Lord wants us to know that we are entering into a field to harvest. To harvest. He'll send the rain. He'll send His Spirit. He'll send the power. He'll send the conviction. You just declare the word. You praise God, and then you reap the harvest. That's the kind of a fellowship that God wants us to have. Praise the Lord. And then I want you to begin to read with me at verse 22. For if ye shall diligently keep all of these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all of his ways, and to cleave unto him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you. Ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. He told Moses, every place you step your foot down. When you put your foot down, son, that belongs to you. Wherever you put it down, it's yours. Now this afternoon, right after the service, we're going over to Highway 5. And as you walk that property, I want you to know in your heart that every place you put your foot down, you claim for Almighty God. If you walk it, you own it. Now, I don't say that you can walk across the Market Square parking lot, okay? Because God hath not given that to you. But God hath given to you that property on Highway 5. You understand what I'm saying? And when you go in to possess it, wherever you put your foot, that belongs to the children and the people of God. I want you to know that as you walk that property today. Now let me just share something with you. I said to you last week, I believe it was last week, might have been the week before, I'm not sure when I shared with you last, that what seemed to be the last hurdle we had encountered, and you remember I said that we had stood fast, and we said this is our offer, and that's all there is, and we just claim the property, we know God's given it to us, and we're going to wait on God, because he said to stand still. And we did. And by all reason, it should have fallen through right then, on the 16th of June. It should have just died right there. But incredibly, about 4:30 or 4:45 in the afternoon on June the 16th, the phone rang. And it was this one particular individual who is, I found out this week, is really being ruled by fear. There's just tremendous fear in his life. He's afraid of what everybody's going to think, you know, if he does certain things. And for those of you who are not aware of what's going on, this property is involved in a bankruptcy. It's owned by Atlanta West Hospital, and it's very involved. He agreed then that he would agree to sell the property, and he would petition another federal district court for permission to sell it, all of which should have taken place by Friday this past. None of which was done. He said he would do one thing, didn't do it. On Thursday, I received a call from another attorney who's involved in it, and he had arranged a meeting for us. So the church's attorney and myself met with this fellow from Birmingham, this attorney, and also the receiver, the court-appointed receiver in bankruptcy. And what they wanted to do, it's a very long story, I'll not give you all of that, but the essence of the meeting was, what they wanted us to do was to increase the price. That was the whole purpose of it. They didn't tell us that ahead of time, though, when we went. So as we sat there and we were talking, I'm not going to share the whole conversation, I'm just going to share a little part of it, so that you understand the importance of knowing what's going on in the realm of the spirit, so that you can understand what's happening in the realm of the physical. The attorney, the one who has been with his feet like this, dragging in the ground all these many months, finally said, he came out with a statement like this. He didn't really ask us to increase the price, however, he was inferring it. We just didn't pick up on it. And he made this comment. He said, I don't know why, GD, important it is that you won't open up that thing and, you know, and increase the price. Okay, thank you, Lord. I know who I got here. And so I proceeded to explain to him why our offer was $150 and why it was no more. And the minute I began to tell him how the Lord had shown us that we were to offer $150,000, no more, no less, that's what the property was worth, and that's how much money of his money he wanted to spend for it. The minute I began to share that, this fellow just, you could just see him begin to raise up. And he'd been real nice, you know, all along. Till I began to tell him about how God had led us to the property. Till I began to tell him how God had told us that the property was ours. How I told him that the Lord had said that the price was $150,000 and that it was not stubbornness, and if it was $150,001, it wouldn't make any difference. It was an act of either obeying God or disobeying God. Well, then he proceeded to tell me how to listen to the Lord. He proceeded to explain to me that maybe I ought to make the Lord aware of this new development. And that he was very careful now as he was explaining this, but it was just about as humorous as it appears to you here now. And I said, well, you know, I'm well satisfied that the Lord knew what was in. He had a big sheaf of papers there. So I'm well satisfied that 8 months ago the Lord knew what was in that trust indenture, and he knew about that paragraph, and he knew about the difference that we'd have between the offer and the appraisal. And he said, well, how could he? You didn't even know that. And it was all I could do to keep from laughing. And so he proceeded to explain to me that, don't you think you ought to tell the Lord about that, and, you know, and talk to him again? And I said, well, we've already discussed that with the Lord subsequently, and he's just restored that $150,000 figure. That's it. Well, he really began to get agitated then. And he just could not understand. And he finally, one of the other fellows that was seated there said, you suppose maybe what we ought to do is ask the Lord to read the trust indenture, that maybe that would help. But that's the kind of thing that was going on. So finally, I got right down to the bottom of it with the gentleman, and I said, I want to know from you, do you want to sell this property? Do you really want to sell it? And all the while that while he was talking, the Lord was just ministering quietly in my spirit. And he said, son, do not let someone that doesn't even know me tell you how to hear from me. Don't let someone that doesn't even know me tell you how to listen to my voice. I asked him, did he really want to sell it? And then he began to shilly-shally around. Then we began to find out what was really going on. Well, I'm afraid that the judge may think this about me, and I'm afraid that the bank may think this, and I'm afraid that the bondholders may think, and just one thing after another. And so I could really see what was happening, that the decision had not been made in that man's mind. It's been made now. I know what it is, but he hasn't told me. I mean, let me explain that again. It was Friday morning that we were there, and when we left, they had determined, the two of them, the attorney and also the receiver in bankruptcy, that they would discuss it after we had left, and that they would notify us tomorrow what their decision was. And their decision is either to make a presentation to this judge in Ohio, you see how complicated it is, or to not make the presentation. By not making the presentation, they just let the deal die, by making the presentation and the judge ruling favorably upon it, then we have the property. They were so concerned about what other people were going to think about the difference between the appraised value and the offer. But then the Lord just kind of dropped this in. And he said to tell them this. Tell them that with this concern, what might their adversaries think if they let the offer fall through? It being the only offer they've had in 18 months, they're not likely to have another one in another 18. It is a good cash offer. What might someone else think if they let it fall through? So we left them with that decision to make. They said they would make it yesterday, or Friday rather. We'll know Monday. And then they said beyond that if they decide to present it to the court in Ohio, that they'll be able to make that presentation and probably tie it up in a week to 10 days. So we wait to see what they have to say on Monday. Now you see why God wanted us to hear this message today? That which the Lord has declared unto us, He shall do. He shall do. Every time I come before you like this, you don't, maybe you do, some of you would know how the devil would attack. To say, Vic, now what evidence do you have to say these things to this people? What evidence do you have? What if it doesn't happen? Well, I know who that is. And the evidence that I have is the same evidence that you have. It's the word of Almighty God. It's the witness of His blessed Holy Spirit in my heart, the same as is in your heart. And it's the trustworthiness of God. It depends not upon what another man might say. It depends only upon the trustworthiness of Almighty God. And I believe God when He said, there shall be no man to stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as He hath said unto you. And if He could drive out the Hittites and the Perizzites and all of the rest of the ites out of the land of Israel with a strong hand, then He can take care of one little old attorney from Birmingham and prayerfully save his soul in the process. Praise the Lord. Now I want to show you one other thing before we close. That is, all through this passage, Moses has been telling the people, if you do the commandment, if you obey the commandment that I've laid before you today, if you are careful to listen and to do that which I've commanded you today, over and over and over and over again, Moses said, if you will do the commandments, then God will do these things for you. What is the commandment? What is it that God expected those people to do? And what is it that He expects this people to do? It's in verse 13. It shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, and then here's the commandment, to love the Lord your God, to serve Him with all of your heart and with all of your soul. Didn't Jesus say that was the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all that you are and all that you have, and be concerned with loving and praising and worshiping and serving Almighty God. And some of these other things, all that you have, and be concerned with loving and praising and worshiping and serving Almighty God. And some of these other things that want to creep into our lives day by day to push aside the things of God, do not let it happen. Do not let the things of this world push aside the worship and the praise of Almighty God. The most important thing you will ever do is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind and soul and strength. And over in 1 John, the third chapter, John goes on to further explain what that means. That is to believe upon the name of His Holy Son, Jesus. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and all of your soul, and all of your strength. Let us pray. Father, you've said that when we pray, if we believe, we shall have whatsoever we say. You said, Father, that if we love you with all of our hearts, serve you with all of our being, then we'll inherit the promise. Specifically this morning, Father, we're believing you and trusting you for ownership of that facility on Highway 5. Now, Lord, we want you to know this morning that we're not interested in any glory. We're not interested in any self-aggrandizement. We're not interested in any honor of any kind. And there's only one reason, Father, why we asked you in the first place for that facility. That was because your people need a place to come together. Your people need a place where they can come and be fed on the Word of God. Your people need a place where they can come and get a drink of the living water. Your people need a place where they can serve you. And so we're trusting you and believing you, Father, for manifesting that Monday, tomorrow. That answer will be favorable tomorrow, Father. And we claim it in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Now I want to speak to you for just a minute before we say a closing hymn. You've heard today many things about the power of God. You've heard about the love of God. You've heard about the glory and the majesty of God. You've heard about the blessings of Almighty God. But if you don't know God, they'll be of no value to you. If you don't know God in the person of Jesus Christ of Nazareth as your own personal Savior, if you've never said, "Father, I take Jesus into my heart as my Savior," if you've never done that, then you've just been to an unusual church service this morning. And you'll not be benefited one bit. But if you are in that condition and not an heir of the promise of God, and if you have not entered into that salvation relationship with Him, you can do it today. You can do it right now. You can do it this very minute. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads again. Close your eyes. If there's anyone here in the auditorium today that meets the description that I've just made, and if you're not sure that you've been born again, if you're not sure that Jesus has become your Savior, if you're not absolutely certain that when your number's called that you're going to go to glory and be with Jesus, if you're not absolutely certain that all of the promises of God that are in this holy book belong to you because you're His child, then I want you to listen carefully. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray just a simple prayer. And I'm going to ask you that if it's your heart's desire to receive Jesus Christ today as your Savior and be born again, if it's your desire to know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've been transformed, and you just pray this prayer with me. Better yet, I'm going to ask everybody to just pray this prayer aloud. That way, if there's someone that's needing to pray this prayer, you can pray it and aloud and not feel embarrassed about it. It's between you and Jesus. Everybody just pray with me. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I acknowledge that I was a sinner.
I lived a life away from you.
I didn't do anything pleasing you.
I heard the word,
but I didn't receive it.
But today,
I have heard the word again,
and I want to be born again.
I want to give you
my life,
and let you do with it
whatever you please.
And by the words of my mouth,
right now,
I surrender to you.
I give you all that I am,
and all that I'll ever be.
I give it to you.
And I ask you, Father,
to forgive me
of all of my sin,
anything I've ever done
that displeased you.
And right now,
Jesus,
I invite you
to come into my heart.
I open up the door.
I want you to live there.
I,
Give me this new life. And I'll serve you. As long as I live.
And now, Lord,
I thank you
for this new life.
For you said,
whosoever shall call
upon the name of the Lord
shall be saved.
And having called
upon your name,
I believe
that I have been saved.
And I thank you for it.
In the mighty name
of Jesus of Nazareth.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. The Lord has transformed you this morning. It's important that you share it with somebody as quickly as possible. Confess with your mouth that which you've done today. If you've taken Jesus as your Savior, you've believed in your heart, now confess Him before men. James, would you come? Let's just sing a closing prayer.